guys, doing a bonus episode this week. May start doing this as a maybe once a month thing. I'm not too sure at the moment. So kind of like an in-between episode bonus you guys are going to get this week. Because we had the show, episode 258 with Jack Brewer, and Chris Wolford here approached me to come on and do a rebuttal, or I guess a counterpoint to the argument. So I thought that would be interesting. So I don't have a way to really kind of fit that into the show, the next show or the show after. So we're going to do a little bonus episode with Chris. So welcome, Chris, back to the show.
Thank you, Adam, for having me on again.
Yeah, it's absolutely, man. Anytime. I'm glad that you reached out to me. So let's dig into it, man. I don't really. I guess that you're chomping at the bit. So if you want to take it point by point, we can do that. I just, you know, I want to say, you know, I do appreciate your viewpoint, like I said before. But it's, I know some people may possibly take umbrage of me having you on to counter it, but whatever. It is what it is.
I'm pretty sure people will. It's okay though. You know, everything will be okay. Yeah. Nothing's on fire.
Well, I want people to keep in mind that, like, you know, I don't really have a bone in this fight. I don't stay up at night thinking, you know, I have other cares in the world and I'm sure you do as well, Chris, than thinking about, like, you know, what is going to happen in ufology.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I honestly hate the term ufology. Like, yeah. That's the one thing Robbie Graham and I agree completely on. Sure. It implies that you're a doctor, and we're not doctors of anything, right? Yeah. You know, I just research UFOs. I set out a goal to get as close as I could to what was going on with Two Stars and Tom DeLonge and that whole thing. I've taken a ton of flack for it. It's all good. I've got a great flak jacket on. So I'm buckled up. I'm ready to go. And, you know, let's do this. So.
Okay. Right. So do you have notes or things that you wanted to kind of address from the Jack Brewer episode? I mean, keep in mind, we talked about this with Red Pill as well a few weeks before that.
So. Yeah, I watched that episode too. Yep. Okay. The main thing, I guess, that Jack had stated that I take issue with is, I guess, how I guess he views what To the Stars represents and the opening of the ATIP program to the public via the whether it be social media or the media in general. He doesn't view as like objectively, you know, he thinks that we're getting all this information only from George Knapp, which, yes, that's a part of it, but, or even with him as of late, Jack Brewer is parroting what John Greenwald is purporting to say, that the Pentagon did not declassify those three videos, did not give permission to declassify those videos with the DD-1910 form, which is totally absurdly false. They did. The people that John Greenwald's talking to are one or two people at the Pentagon. They're press people. And you're not going to hear this anywhere else but here, or maybe Alejandro Rojas, because he's the one that kind of found this out, is John Greenwald's only talking to this one press person at the Pentagon, and they're hurt that they were skipped over in the process. Yes, when Lou Elizondo went to get those videos declassified, they did skip a couple steps. It's nothing that is nefarious, but it isn't like some big conspiracy that To the Stars is trying to hide anything, or that Lou Elizondo's lying. That's not the case. And I just, when Jack Brewer or Walter Bosley or any of these guys parrot that same stuff, it just drives me up a wall, because they're not doing their due diligence. They're not listening to other voices other than what's in their echo chamber. And I hate to be that way. I guess, I don't know how you would even say that I am. I'm trying to be nice about it, but, you know, they're just not doing their due diligence. So that was the main umbrage with me. With Jack and Diana Pazalka, I will say I do. We are in agreement on that. I find Diana Pazalka an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
Only because I don't know what to think of her. I had some interactions with her in the past via social media, both on Facebook and on Twitter. Some private messaging back and forth. But then she deleted her Facebook account and said that she had to delete it because of the university and because of the book. And then she went on to Twitter for about like a month and a half. And then she did the same thing. And I don't know. I don't know what she got herself into. I really don't. And I'm not trying to be conspiratorial because I know some of my colleagues – would get real angry with me because they love Diana Pazalka and what she's done, and I do too. But I just find it very interesting that she's had to delete her social media accounts not once but twice but three times.
I think that she's gotten into this whole Silicon Valley world where there's this degree of weirdness.
Yeah,
and I think maybe the subject of UFOs, maybe that she's freaked out by it somewhat because it is such a fringe subject, and maybe like her fellow academics aren't going to take it seriously. And B, I think that possibility that maybe some of these people that she's around are making things more serious, seem more serious than they actually are. I think that that's what's going on too. When you got the people that that pretty much nicks that Whitley Strieber interview.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. You know, so I mean, what is that? And I had no problem. And if you listen to our interview with her, you know, she even mentioned that some of the questioning that we were talking about. Some of the questioning that we were going almost was the same path that it was going for Strieber. So she had to be careful about what she said. But I think it's like this whole nexus of Silicon Valley and this kind of, maybe there's some, I don't know, what are those things called? Those forms, the non-disclosure forms possibly that could be going on. I think that that's possibility, but see, like now that whole thing has been blown wide open by all these researchers. We know who, James is. We know who Tyler is.
Yep.
You know, James, I guess, is Gary Nolan, mm-hmm. apparently. And, Tyler is just some guy that owns this biotech company that no one has ever really heard of.
Not exactly. He is connected to NASA. In what capacity? Don't ask me. I just know through my sources he's connected to NASA.
But he's still somebody that's not there in the public eye. I think
no,
that's my point.
He wrote a book a very long time ago that you can only get you can get it on Amazon, but you have to pay an outrageous fee. And I don't know. I mean, she definitely got involved in something.
Well, Serfiel found he got through interlibrary loan. He got this book that is a textbook that is worth $500. I mean, astronomical. I mean, the textbook industry is a whole other show. But because I used to work at a college bookstore, and in the 90s, and prices were obscene then. But the thing is like this book is inaccessible to the public because of the price. Plus, it's a college textbook, so it's only used in particular stores. And the guy, she was one of the editors. The other guy was a professor here in Nashville at Vanderbilt. And you know, in that book, you know, she talks about Tyler by name.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy for Sophia to figure out that's who she's talking about. But when it goes to the wider public, then she has to keep it on the down low. But it's like the information is there if anybody wants to access it.
This it's hidden in plain sight. That's the thing.
Right. This is not like top secret shit, you know?
Well, here's the other thing is she took, I think it was Tyler who went with her to the Vatican to their secret. Yes.
Yep.
And I remember this on Facebook, and I had screenshot one picture of her before she deleted her profile. And you can call me stalker. I don't care. But sometimes you have to do this stuff because they were within the secret vault of the Vatican for their the library. And they were looking at UFO books that the Vatican has that nobody has access to.
Yeah.
Which is like mind blowing to me. But I mean, yeah, she obviously got herself into something. I don't know what. I know that she was connected to like people like Chris Bledsoe. I haven't checked out the veracity of this, so don't hold it to me. I just heard this, that she was going to write a screenplay for Chris Bledsoe's story. I don't know if that is true or not, but I find that very interesting. Chris Bledsoe being the very well-to-do experiencer that is friends with John Alexander. He's friends with Grant Cameron. He's had multiple experiences. He was the original guy. I think I had told you this a long time ago, maybe in private, but I'll tell you now in public. He was the original guy for To the Stars before it was To the Stars. That they were going to base a lot of their stuff off.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And when They Are a Threat came along, he's like, I'm not being a part of this. And he extricated himself from that situation.
Yeah.
So
when they started talking about it as the Advanced Aerial Threats or whatever.
AATs. AAV. Yep. So I don't know. I mean, that's where I agree with Jack Brewer. I don't know what, you know, and Diana Pazalka, she seems like a very nice person, but I don't know what the hell she got herself into. The fact that, you know, she had this, she couldn't say this, she could say that, she's skirting around stuff, but like in social media, she'd do the same thing. So privately, I know she's a little bit more open, but obviously that information was not conveyed to me. To some my friends and colleagues, yes, but not so much to me.
I get the feeling, this is my feeling from speaking to her, that these guys, especially probably Tyler, have just worked her up.
Possibly. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, Gary, here's the thing. Gary Nolan, you'll get a exclusive for this episode. Okay. Gary Nolan is an awesome, awesome, awesome person. I'm going to say that again. He's an awesome guy. He's a wonderful scientist, and he's a wonderful human being. Because, not because of the UFO stuff, but for a simple fact, when I was at my lowest point with my health situation back in December and January, he reached out to me. He didn't have to do that. And then what he offered to me was amazing. He offered me the services of the National Institute of Health Services here in the U.S., the best minds in science and healthcare that you can get. And he was like, Chris, I know you're having this situation. I want to help you. I kind of turned him down because, I mean, I don't know him other than I talked to him a handful of times. We talked mainly about UFOs. We never really talked about personal stuff. And for him to do that was amazing. So I don't think there's anything nefarious going on with Gary Nolan.
Yeah. I think it's primarily Tyler. And I don't necessarily the word nefarious is right, but I think that these people, they live in this kind of world where it's just like, you know, our wannabe cloak and dagger kind of stuff. I think that that's part of it too. This kind of corporate world where we got to, you know, some of the people that are rich, that you get this in like the psychology of poverty or the psychology of rich people. It's like they want to keep everything to themselves, this whole idea. So I think that's a part of it too.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to go super conspiratorial, I mean, it's the elite hiding from the serfs. I mean, you could do that too. Not to say that I am. It is interesting that they put all this information in a textbook that's $500. It's right out there for everybody to get, but you can't. I mean, I guess you could, but, that's just unfortunate. Gary Nolan, awesome guy. The study that he's doing with Christopher Kit Green is an awesome study. I know, like, Walter Bosley and I, before Walter and I soured, I would ask Walter, what did you think? He kept saying they were going to use me or use people. That's what the end game was. I don't see that at all. But, I honestly think some researchers, or a lot of researchers, have become too, and I've said this before, too jaded for their own well-being. What's going on is a good thing with all the news stories, and even if whether you hate To the Stars or you like them, it's a good thing because they have moved the needle forward. Some people disagree with me, that's fine. But in my world, it has changed. It's profoundly changed because you're getting the national media to talk about it on an almost daily basis, which two years ago or a year and a half ago, that wasn't the case. We are literally in the dark ages.
Something came up that I saw yesterday on Facebook that Tucker Carlson mentioned UFOs on
TV. Yeah, he had a reporter that was talking about the ATIP program, and they were talking about the metal alloys, the Kit Green. One thing I'm kind of bummed out about, though, is why doesn't Tucker Carlson try to actually, because that Durden's paper I told you about last time I was on is out in the public. Like, you could Google it, Durden's paper. It's 38 different papers, field effects of contact of human flesh or something like that. It's the paper Christopher Kit Green wrote that he's talking about. I know, and I'm just going to name names. I know for a fact they've tested John Burroughs from the Rendlesham Forest. They've tested Whitley Strieber. I know another very well-known experiencer. I'm not going to name his name. They tested him. I'll just throw that out there that I was in consideration at one point for this test. I ultimately chose not to be a part of it because it was so involved.
Is a physical test, or this is some kind of mental thing?
No. This is it's on Gary Nolan's side, it's blood work. Okay. And on Christopher Kit Green, he sticks it in the MRI.
Okay.
And I said this to you off air, I think with Rob and some other guys. I mentioned this to you. Maybe it was the show you did with Soraya and me. Mentioned that this is really happening. Like this study is actually going on. Christopher Kit Green at that time with the Durden's paper that he wrote, it was only military people that they tested. They've transitioned over to doing some public people, well-known people. Some well-known. I mean, obviously, Whitley Strieber is pretty well-known, though I don't think he would admit that. I know for a fact that you would have to sign an NDA. I don't know for how long. I know the tester is very involved. You give blood. Preferably, your parents would have to be alive. Mine are dead, so that was not preferable also, because they would like to take blood for the mom and the dad.
They want to do a comparison,
Yes. And then apparently, this is from people I've talked to who are in the study, Kit Green, when they put you in that MRI, could definitively tell whether you're experiencing or not right away without the blood work.
This is like looking at brain patterns or something?
Brain scan of your brain. And I guess this antenna, if you read Dinah Pazalka's book, the antenna, that's where that is coming from, is that they could see on MRI that you definitely are an experiencer of this phenomenon, or you're highly, highly psychic. They can see it on the MRI. I don't know what they do to get that to go and be that way, but that's been explained to me multiple times from different people who were in the study.
So this is an idea that you could be highly susceptible to having these experiences.
Yes.
Genetically. Which has always been one of these, that's always been there. I mean, at least since the beginning of the abduction phenomenon, was looking at people that had a certain kind of genetic makeup as being prone to these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, but, you know, being someone that I look at this as in more the spiritual way, I think anybody could have these experiences.
For sure. I think...
But there could be something to where they're going with this, though.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, yeah. I don't know what they're going to do with that information. That was another part of me that was like, I don't know if I really want to get, hooked up with this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was very interesting from, you know, being an observer of a fellow experiencer that I know very well and watching them go through the process. I was like, that's cool, but I don't know if I want to do X, Y, and Z, you know? I mean, it's a lot to take in, I guess. And I guess the one good thing is Christopher Kit Green's right here in Detroit, so it wouldn't be that bad for me because I could be right there and they could draw the blood and Gary Nolan could do his thing. But, you know, I guess not, for me, I have only seen one person really talk about this. It's really MJ Banias. I'm really surprised that people like Greg Bishop, Nick Redfern, even Miguel Romero, why isn't he talking about this? I mean, that's pretty exciting stuff, unless they are so jaded that they feel that this is still a military op that is using this for another nefarious reason. I haven't seen any evidence of that, but maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, there's maybe any way you could go with that, really. I don't know. I don't really know. I mean, maybe it's like, if it's a genetic study, possibly they're getting genetic tags. But I think in that respect, that could just be because they are genuinely interested in it.
You know, true.
I haven't seen those guys even address this. I mean, this is kind of – I've seen other things. I mean, you've talked to me about this before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen like the – what is it? The free study where they were talking about I think that people like Rosemary Ellen Guiley were involved in that. And that was that was more of a like looking at different, not a genetic study, but looking at the stories and the different kinds of similar patterns within the abduction contact experience.
The problem with the free study, I hate to be the bearer of bad news because I'm glad they did the work that they did.
Yeah, well, I haven't really heard much about it honestly since then. So
well, ever since Two Stars tried to buy it and whatever.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I would say about a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that, they tried to buy it. And Ray Hernandez, who's president apparently now, he said no thanks, didn't want to be a part of it. But the problem that they have with the free study, or they don't address, is the negative interactions with this phenomenon. They only want positive, so they skew all their data to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. You know, you need to look at the full range of the spectrum.
Sure, sure.
So, because, with this phenomenon, my experience was neither good or bad. It just kind of happened. So, and I know for a fact, Free didn't even want my information.
Hmm.
I was like, okay, that's cool. Whatever. Yeah.
Let's address a point, and this is the one that I have the hardest time with because I'm so unclear about it from, I guess, quote unquote, your side of the argument, mm-hmm. and that's the metal alloys.
No,
that's okay. That's the part where I'm just like, I mean, I guess maybe in that interview I seemed flippant about it, but the possibility, but really what it is just like I see no clarity on it.
What, and I'm not trying to be like, jerk here. What do you mean?
Well, like, where did they come from? Where do these alloys come from? What are these? Are they little pieces? Like, what? I mean,
All right. I'm going to give you, and I think I alluded, I shared the picture with you. I know for a fact they went to Ohio last summer to collect one piece. The piece is about, I don't know, 8 inches long.
Did they go to Wright-Patterson?
No. This is a private individual who, they live in a home in Ohio. I don't know where in Ohio. I wish I would, but I don't.
Gotcha.
And this piece fell from the sky off this quote-unquote UFO, and it fell right in their backyard. They kept it. They didn't say anything to anybody. And when Two Stars kind of put it out there that they wanted to do the Adam Project, I don't know how they got in contact exactly with Two Stars. I'm pretty sure there were some researchers that I deal with that I know that kind of pointed them in that direction possibly. I know for another fact that they're possibly, I don't know if they did get this piece of whatever this metal is, but I know that there was a researcher in Nevada, just outside Nevada, who talked to a witness to a crash in the 60s in somewhere in Nevada. And the military came and took away most of the pieces, but the military didn't get everything. And this person who this researcher was dealing with had at least 4 to 5 pieces that the military did not take. And this was a genuine crash. And this is a researcher that does not do online debates. He does not do YouTube shows. He doesn't do any media. He's legit as all get out. And he shared this with me, and possibly that is a piece to I can't talk, that Two Stars has gotten. I don't know. I know they had gone around. You got to remember, despite what some people say, Jacques Vallée was still very much part of Two Stars, whether people want to say he was or he wasn't. He was, okay? Maybe he gave them a lead where to look for such alloys. And you got to remember, here's the other part, is Robert Bigelow obviously had the Hainer that hosted a lot of these pieces. Is there a possibility that some of these pieces have come from Bigelow Aerospace? I don't know. We'll be all together. We're waiting until May 31st to find out. You know, when the show premieres. And I know it's a crappy way to do it that way, but, you know, what else do we have to, you know, what else can we do? We can't go pounding on Earth Tech's door and say, hey, show us what you got. It doesn't work that way, you know?
I guess to play devil's advocate for a second, I mean, with all this, and, you know, I suppose that there's... The distrust, I think, comes from, I think, first it's the intelligence community ties, and then the second, I guess, the distrust comes from the fact that they're putting this all together in a TV show that is kind of like, really, these TV shows are a double-edged sword, in my opinion, and this goes for not just UFO shows, but the ghost shows, all this milieu. It gets that stuff out there. It gets people thinking, but at the same time, it doesn't really truly share it with the world. It's, you wait till the TV show happens, and there's obviously a monetary reason for it.
All right. So let's address the first part. You said skepticism because of intelligence people being associated with Two Stars. My rebuttal, not so much to you, but to the Jack Brewers, the Walter Bosleys, is where's the evidence of that? Where? You don't have any. We do not have any evidence whatsoever.
Isn't Elizondo former CIA?
Yeah, no, he's former DIA, DIA that's, and the DOD.
That's intelligence community, though.
Of course, yes, but it doesn't mean that everybody who's intelligence is bad. That's what I don't understand. Like,
I will grant you that, Chris. Yes, yes, absolutely. Right. Not everyone is toppling third world governments.
Exactly. I mean, here's the other thing, and I'm going to get a little bit personal, not with you, but with, like, Walter Bosley. Who is he to say anything? He's former Air Force Office of Special Investigation. Why are we taking anything that he says as gospel? Who anointed him to be the gatekeeper of I know all, and this looks like X, Y, and Z? Well, he was an intelligence.
Yeah, but
why do we believe him?
But he does know that world. That's kind of, I mean, that's kind of his point. I mean, he knows that world. He knows what happens in it.
But Adam, just to play devil's advocate, he could be spinning it to spin it, and we wouldn't know because we have to trust him. You know?
I don't know. Having met Walter, I don't think he's spinning it just to spin it. But that's just my personal opinion.
No, so. And again, I'm not trying to be jerky, but
yeah,
you know, I don't know. I mean, I guess so. I guess the other side is like Fox Mulder and trust nobody. That's fine. So I guess wait till we get all the data and see what is presented over the 6 episodes, and then make a informed decision based on that data. Instead of just making pronouncements and saying this is for money or this is intelligence op or blah, blah, blah. Because basically, and I've spoken to a lot of people, that I, quote unquote, that are on my side that say it's like they throw pickles and tomatoes and everything and nothing has stuck. Nothing has stuck. It's kind of funny because, again, where is the evidence that this is an operation? First, it's because of the money. Well, no, it's clearly not the money because 2 stars is fine. Yes, they're asking for $10 million more, but that's with any business like that. And again, they're not $37 million in debt. I have to address that.
$10 million in the long run really isn't that much.
I mean, this is just like any other internet startup company. Yeah. I don't understand why people are so flippant about that and be like, I just don't get it. It's what we've all wanted for the longest time. And then when it comes here, most people ignore it. I don't get it. Or talk it down as it's nothing more than the government doing X, Y, and Z. Really? I agree with Grant Cameron. If you're the government and you don't want people talking about this, you stop talking about it. But since people are talking about it, obviously something's going on, okay? I firmly believe, and this is my opinion, that they painted themselves into a corner. Tom DeLonge came along, presented a really good way to get them out of that painted corner. And, of course, is there a reason behind that? Maybe to make money? Whatever. I mean, I can't sit there and say there isn't. I mean, maybe that's why they're wanting to get this out. For also, I have a strong opinion on this too, that they want to get ready for the privatization of space when people start to fly to the moon or Mars. So when they see these things, they're not, oh my God, it's a UFO. They'll be like, oh, it's a UFO. It's not a big deal. You know, they're kind of, I mean, and that's the conspiratorial part of Chris thinking that they're just getting us ready for that. I don't know. I don't think it's a false flag or Project Blue Beam or anything like that. I don't understand why people are so hard-headed on this and so anti, I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I know I'm lonesome over here.
I think it's just like when you, people have been burned before. And especially when you've got stuff that happened with Paul Benowitz and all that. I mean, that's what we can go to, the Mirage Men.
But see,
that whole thing. I mean, And I see what you're saying, and I've been saying this for a while now too. Like, you know this, and we've repeated it many times of just like, I think a lot of this that's going on could be a cover for militarization of space. So if that's true, then there naturally would be some kind of intelligence agency involved. But at the same time, there are genuinely mysterious things that are going on. And I tend to actually agree. I tend to really agree that, you know, the UFO thing is being taken a lot more seriously now. And I think in a way that maybe could actually divorce it from little green men, and maybe people could take it more seriously. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it to me is, people like Dave Beatty, who made the documentary The Nimitz Encounters, he made a second version of it with more witnesses that have come forward. And I want people to be inclusive in this community. I don't want to be exclusive. I mean, when you get people like John Tenney or Miguel Romero or Jeff Gerson,
calling them all out.
Hell, why not? You know, that's what I'm going for, the jugular today. Why not? You know, whatever. It's all good. I mean, if they hate me, that's fine. I don't hate them. I just wish they would, I guess, calm down their temperament towards anything that the new people have brought forward. Because I think a lot of new people have brought forward a lot of good things, and they get crapped on for bringing it out. And, you know, I listen to a lot of other podcasts, and one that I listen to is the Jamie Josta show, Jamie Josta being a singer to Hatebreed, and he wants to bring the metal and hardcore community together and be inclusive versus exclusive, and that's kind of what the UFO community right now is going through, where, and I won't say old guard, because I feel that there's a lot of old guard, and whatever, it is what it is. They don't like the fact that the new people have come in, and in certain cases, they've made documentaries, they've started new blogs, they've done this, they've done that, and it's all for the positive, and we've kind of, well, not kind of, we have figured out some things that we had not before, that these other people who've been there, they just kind of sitting on their hands, on the sidelines, and they're not contributing anything other than, this is fake, this is a military op, you know, whether it be dark journalists saying that it's a CIA front. Again, where's your evidence of that? Please, well, share. Please.
Let me say this, and I'm not saying that you necessarily engage in this, but I have noticed from my exposure, I guess, to the quote-unquote old guard, that one of the things that they, I think that they resent and they find perplexing is some of the newer guys out there saying that, like, if they bring any of these concerns about intelligence agencies that we've been burned before on this, all of a sudden the flack that they get from the newer breed is, well, you guys are just going to be left behind, and you're going to be you're going to be left in the mud. And I think that there's a certain amount of I think that the older guys out there are a little perplexed by that, and I think they resent it, and it makes the older people kind of look like, you know, what I compared it to was the hardcore punk scene back in the 1980s, where it's just like, if you didn't toe the line, then you're out, man. And it's that kind of mentality with this younger generation of ufologists, for lack of a better term, that is kind of like perplexing and maybe a little concerning for some of those people.
And I'll admit, I'm the one who kind of started that. You will get left behind in a tidal wave. I did say that, Adam. And I stand by that. You will get left behind.
But you said that, but, you know, there's other guys out there that are going to pick up on that, and they're going to say it a lot more vociferously than you do. It's kind of like this whole, like, you know, it's the Cultural Revolution in China. You know, we got to purge out the old people, and, you know, this whole idea it seems like it's very like, you know, we're the new breed, and, you know, screw everybody else. And I think that there's a resentment there towards that. that attitude.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But I guess what a lot of my fellow colleagues are bummed out with is the fact that when they bring something forward that is cool, like, again, I'm going to plug this again, the Nimitz Encounters, free on YouTube. You can watch it anytime. And Dave Beatty made a second one with more witnesses. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, by the old guard. They're like, okay, whatever. And I'm like, are you serious? So you're discounting six people, whether they were on the Nimitz or the Princeton, and what had happened to them is pretty profound, and you're, like, indifferent about it. If I was, like, Greg Bishop, I'd be hounding Dave Beatty to get all the witnesses on his show. Because I find it very odd that, like, and I'm not trying to, like, harp on Greg Bishop. I like the guy. I think Greg may be.
He's looking into the Stars Academy. He's not.
He's done a 180 a little bit. I'll give you that. He has. But like, I wish you would have Dave Beatty. Maybe I'll try to set that up at some point. Because I think that it would be profound to hear all these witnesses' accounts of what happened during that November exercise in 2004. It's pretty crazy. I mean, when you have PJ Hughes talking about the E-2 Hawkeye pilot flying back to the aircraft carrier Nimitz, the minute that he got off the aircraft, he was to sign an NDA, and he was never to talk about it again. And then there's other people who didn't have to sign an NDA. So there's a weird dichotomy, and then there's, again, a lot of people don't know this, but two Air Force officers went on board via helicopter and took the data brick from the E-2 Hawkeye that recorded that whole event, the Tic Tac event, the second flight. But people don't know that, and I wish more, I guess, old guard researchers would start to look at that data, because it's crazy times, man. I mean, that's a good thing that we had people like Dave Beatty making films like that. I mean, and then I found out from Dave Beatty and from his people, these other witnesses, that a nuclear attack sub that was with the Nimitz carrier group, they were picking up sonar returns of the Tic Tacs in water. That's like crazy.
Yeah, like a USO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess I've been a bad boy, and I have kind of launched some, you know, darts at the old guard, but I just wish they would be a little bit more, I don't know, open. But again, some of it has been because of what myself or other people have said. The old guard kind of gets mad, and I get it. But I guess time will tell. We'll see. We'll have to see what happens.
Well, there's one thing that is definite for sure. The TTSA, and I guess Tom DeLonge in and of himself, I think has been extremely divisive. I don't know, and I'm not saying, I mean, I'm not good or bad, whatever. I mean, time will tell on something like that. But I just wonder why it has been so divisive.
With him, with people like saying that, well, because in my opinion, there's a lot of UFO researchers who put a lot of time and blood, sweat, and tears into the subject, and they see this guy who's a rock star, who came along, who read a few books, who put together this thing, and rightfully or wrongly, got together with some intelligence people and started this effort, and they've actually gotten some traction. Whether people want to give them credit or not, I'm sorry, but they have. That's up for me, not up for debate, because at this point, what To the Stars has been able to do has been monumentous. I mean, when I have family members routinely ask me or telling me, Chris, I can't believe I saw this on the news. Is that because of that Tom DeLonge guy? And it's like, well, see, this is a good thing. And originally I think that this was aimed towards the younger generation, but I think ultimately at the end of the day, it's aimed at everybody who was not into the subject at all. So I don't know. I mean, well, again, time will tell. We'll just have to wait and see. It's been a really good ride thus far. Could we get burned? Possibly, but I don't think it's probably. I really don't. I don't see how if this is an intelligence op, what's the main goal? Again, I don't understand it. Like, I just don't. And I've read plenty of books on spy versus spy and counterintelligence and stuff like that. And I've talked to people who've talked to Lou Elizondo in person, and he does not seem like the guy who's lying to pull the wool over on our eyes. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess, Adam.
Was there any other things that were in that interview, our interview with Jack Brewer, that that you wanted to address?
The fact that he thinks that some researchers aren't doing this objectively, and that he thinks the data is skewed because we're quote unquote fanboys, or we're not looking at scientifically. How much more scientific do you have to get more than like Kit Green and Gary Nolan? I've lived it. I've talked to these guys. This is actually happening. Mm-hmm. I'll share. I think I shared this with you, that leaked audio tape with that woman experiencer with Kit Green. I think I shared that with you.
I think you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Grant Cameron has the whole hour. I would love to hear that whole hour, but I have not. But the fact that she was asking Kit all these questions was because she had grown tired of the back and forth. She wanted results, and she wanted to know what they were doing. And it's from my information, from Grant and some other people, that she was ultimately not let go from the study, but she was put on the back burner because of the whole leaked tape. So, I know some people would say that, like, that is you're lacking morals by leaking this tape, but at the same time, sometimes you have to do that to verify truth, because there was a long time there was nobody believing me that I was having these conversations with Gary Nolan at all. Like, they're like, oh, you're full of crap. Christopher Kit Green, he was part of the Avery back in the 80s. This is nothing more than that, blah, 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 blah. And just got tired. I got really tired of having to, defend myself when this really is happening. That's the biggest takeaway I want people to understand. There are scientific studies actively going on right now about this phenomenon. We will get those white papers. I did talk to Gary about a week ago, and I know NJ Benias has said the same thing, that those white papers are forthcoming. They just have to do their due diligence. It's not like they're just going to release it for giggles. They want to take their time and go through the scientific method and do it the correct way. So maybe people like Jack Brewer will calm down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that just about covers it. Unless there's anything else that you wanted to add, any kind of news or anything to watch in the next few weeks?
Well, I think one thing that I will say that kind of gets lost in translation is Congress has met on the subject in 2019 twice. Once with the Armed Services Committee and once with the Space Committee. And I know for a fact that the Armed Services Committee was very upset the Space Committee was brought into the fold. They're very territorial about, this is ours, that's not yours, you deal with space. So, and again, within government, there's this back and forth. And the one thing I will say to kind of throw a wrench into that whole, we're being used as an intelligence op, that Two Stars is an intelligence op and ATIP is an intelligence op, is the fact that people like George Knapp and a few others have said, and I've seen this too, and I know that this former Senator Harry Reid has mentioned this, that within the Pentagon, and I think I mentioned this the last time on your show, there's the people who want this out, and then there's people who do not want this out because they view this as a demonic thing.
Yeah, this is kind of like the Collins elite kind
the
of
elite,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, religion is definitely a hindrance when it comes to this, apparently.
Okay.
So, that's all I wanted to add.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you for doing this. I mean, this is excellent. Little bonus for the week. Where can people find you and I guess see what you're working on? What arguments you're getting into?
Oh, on a daily basis. I don't know. I'm trying, you know, thank God my phone got fried because it literally got fried. Like, we plugged it in. We went away on vacation over this weekend, and I plugged it in into the socket, like, at the hotel, was going goofy, and it blew up my phone. So it just shuts off randomly. So I'm not really on social media that much right now, but you can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. I have a YouTube channel called Chris Wolford. I really don't post there much anymore. Kind of lost interest in YouTube. But that's where you could find me. Or you could yell at me. Whatever.
Yell in all caps vociferously.
Yes, yes.
All right, Chris. Thanks so much. Stay on the line for us. And thank you guys for listening to this bonus episode of Conspiranormal. We'll be back on the main show next week. Till then, later.